Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
Yes, Tech Thursday back right here on eRadio Live. And the good news, of course, is that it is now an entire hour from the month of February. So 60 minutes weekly with music, of course, included. And our guest is still the same. Thank goodness for that. Kane, how's it?
Hey, no, thank you so much for having me again. It's great to be back. I couldn't think of a better way to finish off my Thursday.
Yes, yes, same here. Now, Kane, we're going to start with some tech news and see what was making headlines over the past 7 days or so here in mainly in South Africa. And then you also have a very interesting story about Mars, involving Mars. Just give us a little teaser there.
Right, so we have this month of February, there is going to be touchdown on Mars, where we have a Perseverance rover that's going to be dropping off the first ever aerial vehicle on Mars. So it's really, you know, it's a Wright Brothers moment on another planet.
Okay, so just after that segment or before that segment, we're gonna pipe in some David Bowie, Life on Mars, for you. Would you like that?
Let's do it, man. Absolutely.
A real classic, man. I just need to start up the record player while we're busy talking now. Yes, but by the way, I'm Ian, and Kane is also with me, in case you're wondering who we are. And we talk about tech news every week right here and in the new time slot for an entire hour. So Tech Thursday is now a show on its own. It's no longer within or under the umbrella of my show like it used to be. And the reason being, it is cool and it is nice and it is interesting, and it should have an hour every week. What do you think, Kane?
I think tech updates needs an hour of our life every week. I think that's a fair bracket of time.
Yes, it's just an hour to sum up the entire week, and we include cool new music. So, I mean, what more do you want? Now, Kane, SARS, I don't know if you saw that story. They want to know about your cryptocurrency here in South Africa. They want to know how much you're earning, and they want to know why you're earning it. Did you see that story?
Absolutely. And let me strengthen the resolve for SARS with a little story. Right now, you know, there are people that might receive their salary in cryptocurrency, exchange that salary for South African rand, and then use it as a normal salary. And there are other people out there that will take a portion of their salary, invest it into cryptocurrency on a long-term basis. And then there's a portion of people that either get their salary in crypto or take a portion of their salary, and then they go and they trade cryptocurrency, either with the capital that they have built up over time, or, you know, just with each and every month, as much as they have, they go and they trade it, and it grows their portfolio each and every month. And when we see prices rise, you know, 200%, 300%, 400%, these people are really, you know, growing big bags of money. And where they're making a lot of money at the moment, in terms of, you know, people who are seeking to make money off of cryptocurrency that doesn't even necessarily come off of trading, but the exchange of cryptocurrency for South African rands. If you go somewhere like Local Bitcoins, it's an online website, localbitcoins.com, you'll see that there's people in South Africa that buy and sell cryptocurrency from other people in South Africa, peer-to-peer from each other. And localbitcoins.com basically facilitates this. Mm. And we were doing a little bit of research about a year ago into how much revenue are these people making? Because when you go there, you can see how much they're selling their Bitcoin for, and you can see that they have about anywhere from 5 to 25% above margin price. And you then take that margin that they have, which is usually, let's call it 10%, and you divide it by the total volume of BTC that they've transacted, and you find that they've made anywhere from, you know, 3 million to 10 million rand a year profit. And sure, when you hear about that, that's definitely something that should be taxed.
Yeah.
It's not It's not income that you would see an everyday person who's just a retail investor turning over. And that's just how it is. And interestingly enough, when we were doing even more research and conducting, you know, conversations with these individuals, we found that a lot of them were actually, you know, not necessarily your average Joe. Some of them were Nigerians that were living in South Africa that were also utilizing this, and not necessarily in an illicit way. But these kind of people are the quickest to jump on trends that they can make money and things like that. And in this case, they were making a lot of money from it, whether it is illegal or not. And they should probably be paying tax on it. Equally so, you know, people that have these massive capital trading amounts, they also should probably be liable for a portion of tax based off of their profits if they're successful, you know, and they should report that. Now, where that falls upon the person who's just receiving their salary, directly converting it to South African rand and then utilizing it like that, probably through Luno or Altcoin Trader, they're in a gray area. But if they do disclose it, they shouldn't fear for anything. They're not actively trading. They're just disclosing that they receive that amount of money in crypto, and that amount of crypto becomes the exact same amount of rand at that time if they're immediately selling. So it is kind of a gray area. But if you're earning upwards of, you know, that kind of money, you have to do it, because those are the people that are going to get hit hardest, I think.
Yeah, but it means that a taxpayer who fails to correctly disclose their income, as you said, from Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrencies, they may be listening. They may be convicted for an offense and be liable to a fine. Wonder if that fine's going to be in crypto. Or you could be imprisoned for up to 2 years, apparently. So that's pretty interesting. Now, while we're talking about SARS, did you hear about their new browser?
Oh, don't even get me. That just seems like such a bad idea, you know?
Okay, well, the reason is it's a new e-filing browser, okay? The reason, of course, is that Google and, well, Microsoft ended support for Adobe Flash Player on Edge and Internet Explorer 11 at the end of last year, and all the browsers, they no longer support Adobe Flash Player. It's dead. And so SARS came up with their, you know, you've seen their IT department, that lady who said on TV, please protect me from myself. Remember that girl?
Oh, that's her.
Well, I don't think she works there, but those are her colleagues. And so they kind of launched a new e-filing browser in response to the users complaining that they having issues with these flash forms. And this new browser hasn't been received pretty well so far. People saying it is just not working. People are saying it's not secure. I think that's the main issue, that it's not secure. Because, I mean, we're working here with very sensitive info, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly right. And if we look right now at the available options in terms of browsers, you've got Google Chrome, you've got Mozilla Firefox, you've got Microsoft Edge, you've got Opera Mini, you've got a very small net of, you know, feasible browsers that you can use. And these browsers are constantly working with developers in a contactless environment to ensure that things are safe and protocols are kept secure and, you know, ports are kept secure and information that is submitted on the browser is kept secure. And the thing is, when you have a browser, you have the places you're visiting, they're building their viewer experience and the safety and the security around the browser, and that's the medium that the user's using. So creating a browser is, first of all, no easy feat. Mm. And second of all, those browsers, the top ones, Chrome and Mozilla Firefox and Edge, they've all plugged security holes that they found, you know, over many, many years. And now, typical, we go and we try and bandage a problem instead of saying, right, we need to upgrade our infrastructure, our software infrastructure, to support, you know, the 21st century browsers and things like that. We've gone and tried to go backwards. There's a reason Google Chrome and Mozilla Firefox no longer have support for Flash. And that is because it isn't an outdated technology. It's insecure. And now we're going and we're trying to create a browser to make an insecure piece of software that's outdated. The opposite of that. It doesn't make sense.
Hmm. Very, very insightful there, Kane. Just quickly, another item that's newsworthy is Apple Pay apparently is starting to roll out here in South Africa. Also, it seems multiple banks now mention Apple Pay on their websites and mobile apps. And Apple Pay also itself said that they're now including South Africa in its terms and conditions. So that would indicate that Apple Pay has now arrived here in South Africa. Apple Pay allows you to store virtual representations of your credit and debit cards that are supported by the Apple Pay service and to use supported devices to facilitate transactions, including making contactless payments in select locations or within apps or websites. And that is the story. And then, did you know, according to My Broadband, Cell C's three top executives were paid 219.2 million rand during a time when corruption and poor management decisions caused tremendous damage to the company. We all know that Cell C is in trouble. I don't know if you heard, Kane, but it's also been reported that they're looking at renting out the headquarters of Cell C, that beautiful building in where's Joburg. They actually want to rent it out now or sell it, I think.
Really, eh? That's a bad sign. That's
yes,
business rescue kind of terminology.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about after the break. We're going to talk about Sterkinicor entering business rescue. That's very sad. That's with effect from the 27th of January already, so it's already in effect. And then we're also going to look at Musica. Did the internet kill Musica? That's the question we ask today. When Tech Thursday returns.
Get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment radio on the go.
And welcome back to Tech Thursday right here on eRadio Live. It is Jan with you and also Kane, and we're with you till 4 o'clock discussing this week's biggest tech stories and all things interesting. Kane, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Great. Listen, Kane, yes, we mentioned that we're going to talk about, you mentioned business rescue when we spoke about Cell C, and now we're talking about Sterkinicor. It's been announced a few days ago that Sterkinicor has announced that it is commencing into voluntary business rescue proceedings with effect from the 27th of January. Now, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, just this week, what was it? Yesterday, we heard that a massive business like Greyhound and Cityliner, those bus services, are ceasing to exist as from next week on Valentine's Day. They no longer exist. They'll sell the buses and you will never ever see a Greyhound or Cityliner bus driving past you again. Isn't that actually pretty sad?
It is sad. It's heartfelt because I feel like a lot of us grew up on those buses, you know, whether we were traveling by a budget or, you know, just first class on a bus. You know, those options were available. Those are gone now.
Yes. Well, luckily we still have Intercape, and it's really, really sad. You know, I'm also thinking of the job losses, you know. That's tremendous.
Yeah.
That's
they're all over the country. It's a big knock.
Yeah, tremendous impact there. Thinking of them. Also, Sterkinicor, I mean, I don't know if you saw, but somebody wrote on one of the comment sections, and it was a top comment. She wrote that Sterkinicor, being now in business rescue, they can actually get out of business rescue by just selling two popcorns and a Coke. Nasty, nasty, nasty. Very nasty, but it was hilarious. Imagine. But, I mean, yeah, we know the prices. It's not helping the situation here, right?
I mean, Netflix truly coming in with a massive blow to industries. And I think this is the time of massive disruptors, and we are so quick to celebrate a disruptive technology. Even myself, I will be over the moon when I hear about, you know, a new piece of technology that's going to disrupt an existing market or a monopoly or something like that. And here we have, you know, this massive disruptor, but it has a true effect. And then that effect is, you know, the death of Blockbuster, the death of Stir Kinnicore. And it's pretty sad, because it isn't just about watching a movie behind your TV anymore. You know, there wasn't a whole experience to going to the movies and having the popcorn and all of these things, and at the risk of saying, oh my, we might part ways with that experience. My kids might not be able to partake in that experience. That's alarming, you know, and it's terrifying in a way, but it's also exciting, because what does the future hold as a replacement?
But I'm, you know, Kane, I love Netflix. I've got Netflix and it's great and everything. But sitting in your lounge or your sitting room or wherever, and even if you have surround sound, it's not the same. It's not the same as going to the movies. Like you said, that whole experience, meeting up with your friends there, or maybe like me, going to the movies alone sometimes just to break away and be by yourself a bit, enjoying your favorite snacks while watching a movie. You know, nothing beats that experience. I know it is very pricey, but and people probably can't afford it anymore. And now they're also worried about going to the cinemas because it's an enclosed space, and they're worried about the virus. But it would be tragic. I mean, look at all the big video stores, like you said, that no longer exist. Do you think Stir Kinnicore could possibly go that route as well? I mean, they're still in business rescue. There's still hope.
There is still hope, and they're going to probably have to find a new way to derive a significant revenue, whether they're turning themselves into some sort of digital franchise as well, whereby, you know, you experience a Netflix-like environment that's built through VR in the later stage when technology can support it. Who knows which direction it can go, but a very trying time at the moment, I think. And yeah, we all kind of secretly hope, I think, that it would remain.
Yeah.
But one interesting thing I wonder is, you know, 20 years ago or so, did people sit down like we're sitting down now and discuss, you know, the death of the drive-in theater, where you could go drive-in with your car and watch a movie? Did people argue that it's far better than a cinema because, you know, it's private and you can all have your own car with your own group of people and the audio quality is good and you can kind of pay attention and not, and if you're with your partner, it can be fun and exciting and romantic and all of these things. But now, you know, it's a thing of the past. We don't even think about it. So I just hope it doesn't disappear and it's forgotten after a generation. You know, it was such a good experience, actually.
I agree.
The making of memories in your childhood.
Exactly. And you paid for that experience, you know, and obviously it's gone up, everything, the prices of everything has gone up. Just this week alone, petrol went up by what, 80 something cents per liter. Everything's going up. Inflation is inevitable. It's how it works. But, you know, like I said, there is still hope for Stir Kinnicore, but unfortunately, no hope for Musica. And that really is tragic. How do you feel about the Musica scenario?
I always feel like you miss them more when they're gone than you fear them leaving when they're around, because I haven't been to a Musica in a long time. And, you know, the only time you feel kind of sad is when you hear about them disappearing. They're kind of in the back of your head, you know, they've always been there. But it is not the time to be, you know, earning revenue physically. It's the time to be earning revenue digitally, and with already existing infrastructure such as Spotify and Apple Music and these alternatives that you just are just leaps and bounds ahead of where Musica would be if they started developing technology like that now. And would it be disruptive enough? I think it's the where else do you go when you put in a corner? You know, I don't think there is a way to revive DVDs and things like that.
But so would you say that internet or streaming in general killed Musica?
I think it was definitely down neck and neck to you know, if maybe Spotify and Apple Music didn't provide such a good service, especially Spotify, because if we focus on the service provided by Spotify, you're basically liking content, and then that content is generating with AI suggested content that you could be interested in. Thereby, the more you're showing you're interested in, the more accurate the new things will be that you discover. It's so much further ahead than the service that Musica can provide walking into a store. They would need to make each one of their staff on the ground super, super, super musically adept. And, you know, it's a very difficult service for them to try and top. And I think it's the only way that they could have gone, unless they competed with something like Spotify and launched their own music channel. And in reality, I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Musica is a branch off of Clix, right?
That's it. Retail group Clix. They bought it in 1992, apparently, for 1.2 million rand.
I think they made their money back, and I don't think they're interested in, you know, trying to launch the sidearm business that tries to compete with such tech-savvy solutions right now. I don't think they feel like they could, and even if they did, they would have to hire the expertise, and they don't have it already.
And I mean, even if you start a kind of a Musica-related streaming service, there's absolutely no guarantee that it's going to work, because the market is hectic. It's so strong. The competition from, as you said, Spotify, iTunes, all those services. I mean, there's just no guarantee that you're going to make it.
Yeah, so if you have a Netflix subscription, then you're already paying 150 rand a month. Then you have a Spotify subscription, you're paying 60 rand a month. That's at least 180 rand a month, let's say, you know, if you're calculating. Then you have an Apple Music subscription, which is also about 80 rand a month. So you're looking at like 260 rand a month. And now you're, as a consumer, you're getting fed up with paying these subscriptions. You know, you've also got other alternatives like Showmax and Amazon Prime. And if you're paying for those as well, now you need to consider paying for Musica's, digital software, just so they can stay alive. It's too hard to compete. You have to have such a disruptive solution that is leaps and bounds ahead of the competition in order to stick the landing of that launch, you know. And it's a lot of pressure, and they're probably contemplating, do we put all the profit on the line to make more profit, or do we close the book on this, take our profits and move it into something else? And I think that's the way they opted to go.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because I mean, also this article on My Broadband is saying, you know, and it shows you that they've known this for a long time already, that they're going to stop trading. They already closed 19 stores since the start of the 2021 financial year. They only currently have 59 outlets where they're trading from. And the only reason why they're still around until the end of May this year is because these remaining stores need to close and their leases need to terminate, you know. So that's why they're sticking around until the end of May. And then those leases are up and they won't be renewed. It hasn't been confirmed, but apparently most of the Musica employees will be transferred to elsewhere in the Clix group. So I would, probably think that they would work at Clix then, or have some sort of job in the Clix group. But, can't help but wonder if Clix didn't carry Musica for too long and just said now, especially now during the pandemic, they said, okay, listen, enough.
Yeah, I think they were facing a decision similar to this for a while. And it's not like Corona was the dual cause of it. I mean, we were shifting into a more digital consumption of entertainment way before peak of 2019. So it's interesting to think what they might have had in store. I think they didn't pull the trigger on evolving fast enough, which should have been a strategic business decision back in 2016, 2015. They should have been looking out for possible disruptors in the market. But it's a big surprise for a lot of these companies, I think, now that all this different software is coming out, and the age of IoT is really starting to show itself and show its colors. I think the progress that is made out of the limelight, when these big corporations with big infrastructure finally identify the challenger, it can sometimes be too late because of how much work has already gone into establishing that infrastructure for this new software. And when people hear about it, that stuff can really, you know, spread quickly. And when you have someone, when you're looking at the music industry, for example, you know, Spotify signed some big music artists. Just imagine Eminem, Katy Perry, and Justin Bieber. You've got like 40 million people right there easily on the first month that can be exposed to your marketing and go and start a subscription. You can't compete with something like that.
No, there's just no way. But, you know, it's kind of hard for me to move on even from this topic because I spent many hours after school in Musica getting to know my music like I do today. It certainly helped me. And I mean, who can forget those CDs? Now that's what I call music. And then there's a number, 21? 36,
oh,
you know.
Wow, I can remember those.
And then you would walk past Musica after school, and then there would be this like stand in front at the door just with the CD covers, and then you would just look, you know, is the new Now CD out yet or not? And then when you see it, bam, you go in, pocket money, and you buy it. Well, that's me at least.
No, that was me as well, it was such an experience. It's just not the same as going to a website and just using your mouse wheel.
No,
it's an inclusive experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're taking away this experience now. That's what I don't like. You can call me old-fashioned, but I still like that experience. Even with the digital magazines, I still like to hold that magazine in my hands and feel the paper and smell the ink. That's a big experience for me, even with books. Not a huge fan of e-books and those things, eh?
It's such an interesting story, even me, because I used to read a lot of books, and a lot of them were hard to find in my area, so I'd eventually read an e-book. But nothing really compares to holding a hardcover.
No,
and just it's a page turner, and you're literally doing that. So you're not just doing the same thing on your Instagram feed.
Yeah, no, it's not good. I still like the actual book in my hands, especially a magazine. Not really a newspaper. I wouldn't mind the newspaper going digital, like it already has. You know, like reading the news like we do every day on our screens. That's okay. But when it comes to more personal reading, I would prefer having the book in my hands. Thank you very much. And
no,
even if you're
like
going to
newspaper, I don't like.
Mm?
I don't think newspaper is going to last very long. I mean, if I wanted to paint my hands, I just paint my hands. I just wouldn't read a newspaper. You get so much ink on your hands.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
It's not a good way to spread news, and it's controlled and everything.
Yes, but Kane, just look at how huge, I'm not talking about the tabloids, just look at how huge, mainly these Sunday newspapers, just look at how huge those papers are. I mean, you gotta do like stretching exercises just to keep that newspaper up in front of your face. It is so huge. I got lost in a newspaper once. I didn't know where I was. Literally.
It's so massive, and you dare drop it once. You dare drop it and all the papers fall out just one time.
Yes.
And you will never have the same reading experience.
No, unfortunately, you know, also that's a completely different topic, death of print, that's happening now. It's inevitable. And, you know, all the newspapers kind of have a digital side now because they have to. And eventually they're going to start shutting down the printing press. Unfortunately, that's the reality.
Hopefully a few more trees grow, but I think they'll find another way to use it.
Yeah, but anyway, if they stop printing books, I'm going to just start printing my own because I want to hold an actual book. I don't want to be in bed with an e-reader. No. And then, sorry, listen, I know we must move on now from Musica, but I just want to give you a few fast facts about Musica. Did you know, when Musica was still hot stuff, they had they were SA's leading music retailer, and they had 140 stores across the country. In fact, they were so successful that Clicks decided to launch Musica Mega Stores in 2006, which offered customers over 30,000 CD and DVD titles in large format stores. And I don't know if you were fortunate enough to be to visit it, Kane, but at the V&A waterfront, they had this massive Musica Mega Store. It was huge, like 1,600 square meters, where even upstairs and downstairs, where you could just get lost in DVDs and CDs for years.
Can you imagine ordering all that stock?
No, I know, probably a massive team doing that. I would have wanted to.
Can you imagine stock take day? Can you just imagine a run around?
No, not stock take day. Stock take week or month.
That's the month I take leave.
Yes,
I will not be. I would not. I wouldn't handle it. I would not handle it. It's just too much.
But you know that I see that they actually made an attempt to kind of move with the times, because as the demand for CDs and DVDs declined, Clicks repositioned Musica, and then they were stocking speakers, remember, later on headphones. I think you could also buy your PlayStations from there.
Yes, they went more into the gaming and, accessory kind of route, which I think would have worked, but... You can't, if you're talking to tech people, you need the best stuff. And I, from the stores that I saw, they didn't have anything that really turned the tables compared to, I think the biggest problem is, especially in the big stores, that these retail stores basically became the window shopping experience that is later then fulfilled online on something like takealot.com or Amazon. And it's a hard thing for a store to do, to say, hey, come look at all this stuff so that you can see how it looks, so you feel more confident when you buy it away from our store.
Yeah, you're right. And then I see they also tried selling vintage and modern style karaoke machines, and later on even cell phone accessories. I actually remember now visiting a Musica. Was it last year, I think, or the year before? Popping into a Musica, and there was absolutely nobody in there. That was way before the virus and all that stuff. And there was not a soul in there. I could actually see how bored the employees were. That should have signaled it already, right?
Yeah. I think that's totally the case. I don't think they expected the drop-off in people, because it wasn't necessarily a thing like, I don't want to go to music anymore. It was just like that need was sort of fulfilled elsewhere, and we subconsciously didn't, go there as much and things like that. And there was no need to have a DVD. I don't even have a DVD machine connected to my TV anymore. And I don't even know if I missed it, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got this lovely, what do you call it? Media box for my TV. My box. A little smart TV box. Netflix. Anything.
TV smart.
YouTube. My TV is smart now. It used to be dumb. but I mean, the real cool thing is those TVs come with it built in now. You don't need that box. But when you go to a place like Klopis, you can easily get it, pick it up for what, 1,214, I think. And
yeah, absolutely.
And you can even watch YouTube on it, browse the internet. There is a browser. You need to sideload it. It's kind of fussy. It's got its own kind of version of Play Store, Google Play Store. You can't get all the apps on there for some reason, but you can sideload them if you're clever. I'm sure you can do that.
Yes, absolutely you can. It's a great alternative if someone does it. Like if you have a TV and you don't feel like spending 5 to 12 to 20,000 rand on getting the latest tech, you just get a smart TV box that basically turns any TV smart, and you have the same experience. It's not necessarily the all-in-one experience that you want, but it's exactly the same experience that you could expect from a smart TV.
Exactly. So that's the Musica story wrapped. Let's just have a moment and think of Musica in the good old days, light a candle, and say rest in peace, Musica 2021. Very, very sad.
R.I.P. to a legend.
Yes, absolute legend. Gosh. It's hard for me to move on. Do we get tissues on the show?
Gone in a click.
Kane?
Did you hear what I said? I said gone in a click.
No, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. The line was breaking up or something. And then just quickly, lastly, before we go on to our next break, did you know that some companies are now actually buying Tesla Powerwalls for employees working from home? And I mean, how much do you earn at that company? Because just getting a Powerwall is 148,000 Rand plus.
Sure.
So how much are you earning at that company if they want to keep you on the power? If they want to keep a power, I mean, it's always like buying the whole bloody power station.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've never even considered, you know, spending that much and making my house solar powered.
What kind of work are you doing anyway if they spending that kind of money on you to keep you working? Interesting. I'm just thinking out loud here, but interesting. And then, sorry, lastly, before we take a break, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos has announced that he will step down in the third quarter of 2021, and he will be replaced by Andy Jassy, who is, I don't know about the pronunciation there, who is currently the head of Amazon's cloud computing unit. Are you surprised to see Jeff Bezos stepping down, or do you think he's rich enough now?
I thought about it as well, and I think, you know, from Jeff Bezos' perspective, I read about a day in the life of Jeff Bezos, and he had a pretty relaxed day as far as I understand, you know, waking up around 9-10, doing whatever he does, having lunch, making 5 to 7 critical decisions a day, and, you know, going to bed and repeat, rinse and repeat the next day. So either his life was very relaxed or exceptionally stressful. And I think at this point, you know, once you conquer a mountain and you've made it, what can you do beyond the CEO of Amazon? I think either his board of directors decided that they wanted someone else there. He had too much power, which might be a power play, and we don't hear about all the information, or, you know, it's a case where he wants to be able to dig into something else and conquer that. And I think there's so many other avenues. You might find that he might go into space, or he might go into neural networks, or he might go into renewable energy. I mean, there's so many sectors at the moment. He might go into carbon capture. There's so much happening. I think he felt like from the seat of Amazon, I don't think he could do everything that he might want to.
Maybe. Very good point there. Nice angle. Now, you just mentioned going to space. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mars. Is there life on Mars? Kane is going to tell us. Stay tuned.
Your systems are offline. Eve Radio Live. Powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
And we're back here on Tech Thursday, right here on eRadio. It's Ian and Kane with you till 4 o'clock, and maybe you're listening to the podcast afterwards. But right now the question is there life on Mars? Kane, apparently yes.
Absolutely. There is going to be something very exciting happening on Mars, not necessarily life, but there's definitely going to be a lot of excitement happening. You know, back in the day before humans took to the air, we got around everywhere on 2 wheels or 4 wheels, depending on our mode of transport. And we never really took to the skies. We would just look at birds enviously and just like wonder how it would feel. And then the Wright brothers came along and they said, let's change that. And they made the first aerial-based vehicle. And right now, the same thing is happening on Mars. We've been on Mars for a while. Our rovers are monitoring the area, exploring the landscape, but only so much can be done from the ground. There's certain terrain that isn't transmissible. There is, there's weathered places that aren't necessarily, you know, accommodating for the wheels that are on the rover. So right now, in the next few months, Ingenuity, a helicopter type device, will be hitching a ride to Mars aboard the Perseverance lander, NASA's latest wheeled robotic rover. Ooh. So it's expected that it will touch down on Mars, scheduled for later this year in 2021. And it will basically, after landing there, it will roam around Mars for a while, and then a month or two later, it'll actually drop off the Ingenuity drone. It's more of a drone than a helicopter, and we'll get into that now. So NASA's objective is to be able to get into the sky on Mars, but it's not necessarily the same gravity on Mars, and the atmosphere of another world poses a unique set of engineering challenges. And obviously NASA has to be able to conquer these challenges in the event that it wants to launch larger vehicles there. So Ingenuity isn't going to be doing any scientific expeditions, but it's really going to be laying the foundations and framework for future development of aerial vehicles that can do things in the Martian atmosphere, like taking pictures and delivering payloads and, you know, transporting scientific equipment from A to B in order to, you know, conduct some sort of experiment. So the Ingenuity craft is about 50 centimeters high, and it has four main blades. Then the blades weigh 58 grams. Can you believe it? 58
wow.
grams. Okay. So the rotors are span about 1.2 meters, and you know, it's extremely, extremely, extremely light. The gravity on Mars is only a third of Earth's, but the atmosphere is only about 1% as dense. So if you had to compare Earth's atmosphere to Mars, you know, in a 1 by 1 cubic meter, air weighs about 1.2 kgs. But on Mars, it's just a few grams. And the surface of Mars has the same atmospheric pressure as Earth at 30,000 feet. So, you know, anyone who knows it, Earth's atmosphere gets thinner and thinner the higher you go. So at 30,000 feet, you're talking about the same kind of atmosphere at Mars. So normally a helicopter would have to spin its rotors at about 500 RPM in order to be able to take flight. But this particular bad boy is going to go at 2,500 RPM in order to actually traverse the Martian atmosphere. And it only weighs about 1.8 kgs, which is a couple bags of sugar, the whole thing.
My word.
And it can go into the sky for 90 seconds. And then it has to come back down and charge for another whole day.
No, man. Oh,
absolutely.
Gosh. Okay, that's interesting.
Absolutely. It's absurd, really. But I think at the end of the day, the scientific breakthrough that had to be made in transportation, I mean, the test that they had to put this device through is strenuous. They had to try and recreate the Martian atmosphere. And also, at night, the temperatures on Mars can get to about negative 100 degrees Celsius. So they have to maintain a percentage of power, two-thirds of the power, just to keep the electronics warm at night. So although it flies for 90 seconds, it only uses one-third of its power bank. The rest is just preserving temperature.
Oh, my word. That's so interesting.
What? How crazy is that? How crazy is that?
Wow. Kane, that's incredible. Just give us the date again when it's going to Mars.
It's going to land there. Perseverance is landing in the middle of February, but it will only go and drop off the Ingenuity drone towards the later of the year. They will decide when it happens. But we do have some general idea of, you know, the best time of day that they're going to do it. So they're looking to launch the rover. I mean, they're looking to launch the drone at about 11 a.m. In the morning in Martian time, because they believe that by this time, the craft would have been warmed by the sun. And that's good because obviously the really chilly Martian night, but the air is also cool. So it keeps some of its density so that it can try and get as much lift as possible when they're spinning, and it's also early enough in the day that the batteries have a nice healthy charge so they can get into the air. So they're not sure when they're going to do it, but that is going to be the first flight that they're going to attempt it. It's very interesting because they also, there's an 8-minute delay between relaying a signal from Earth to Mars. So it takes 8 minutes for them to basically send a command to the drone. And there's no controlling that drone. For that 90 seconds that it goes into the air, it's all done remotely. Sure. And it does it by pairing up with the rover, going into the sky. They basically start taking a few pictures of each other, almost like syncing a wireless speaker to a Bluetooth phone kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they go back and that's the test complete. And it's truly the framework for future aerial transportation on Mars. And I think that's so interesting.
That is very, very interesting. Thanks for sharing that with me and our listeners today, Kane. Brilliant, brilliant. And I think that absolutely calls for a follow-up soon.
Yeah, we have to do it. It's going to be, it's equipped with a 4,000 by 3,000 pixel color camera, which is comparable to like what you might find in a high-tech phone.
Yeah.
So we're also going to probably have some pictures of that.
Ooh,
and I'm sure
yes.
we can share some of those pictures on the website and things like that.
Ah, that would be stunning. Yeah, no, awesome. Thanks for telling us about it, Kane. That is absolutely brilliant. So there is life on Mars after all. Well, somehow. Now, Kane.
Yeah, let's hope.
Kane, yes, we're wrapping up now. So, yeah, time is against us. We've been having an awesome discussion so far here on Tech Thursday. And now, I believe, I heard a little birdie. It was actually a peacock. He told me that you are working on a new awesome project. You want to tell us a bit more about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're launching a digital marketing initiative here in the Garden Route area, and even as far as, you know, the whole of South Africa. And we're basically launching a few set services that are engineered to help businesses grow in the digital environment. It's geared to help build new customers, form strong relationships with prospects, and, you know, constantly deliver information to your prospects each and every day, you know, religiously. And all of that comes together with perfect social media branding, website, you know, having the perfect physical media like business cards and flyers and billboards and apparel, and having the perfect digital marketing, such as ads and videos and being on top of Google. And this is all what's included in these packages. And it's really catered to your business in such a way that we can even work out pricing and things like that, so that you can pay when you're successful, when you're making money. It's not just about lifting this, you know, wad of cash and paying a marketing agency and saying, you know, like, I hope we get customers. It's completely the other way around. It's looking at your business,
yeah,
identifying how we can shape it into the digital world like Musica failed to do, and really set you up in such a way that you can still turn over a sizable revenue without having to rely on so much of the physical labor that you've been doing up until now. And it's not just going to be just that. You know, we're also willing to work with you as best as we can. We have a loyalty club for people that spend over R1,000 per month, where every fifth thing you ask for is completely free.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're in a monthly retainer with us, which would deliver a set amount of services every month at a completely customized price, or whether you're just purchasing over the counter designs and things like that, if you're spending more than R1,000 per month, you're getting one thing free every month, whether it's a new design for your business card or it's a new signature campaign for all of your estate agents. Maybe you're some sort of real estate agency. It's really catered to make sure that you know, you can get the affordable digital marketing that you need without having to try and be the expert in that field. You know, we're going to try and make sure of that. So what you can kind of experience is better social media kind of presence, you know, quality branding across all your verticals, from your website to your mobile responsive site to your email newsletter, you know, to your Facebook ads, quality branding that really builds a persona for yourself with your customers. Websites that work for you, whether you're running an e-commerce site and you're hoping to get purchases through your site. Maybe you have a new idea, something that you want to launch in order to make money, but you're scared a website's going to cost you some of your entire wallet. This way, you know, you can go and explore such an idea. We can work with you and we can figure something out. You're going to get better advertising results. You're going to get professional video content for product placement and advertising. You know, you're going to get expert advisory. We've got people who have been marketing for years and have been involved in some of the most innovative fintech industries. I mean, it's going to guarantee you result that you're not going to get relying on the same physical stuff that you've been doing. It's the perfect integration to shift into digital. So, for example, getting on top of search results. In the Garden Route area, search is so important. It's what the tourism industry relies on in order to find you in this day and age. And it could be the difference between, you know, 35 people that day not knowing about you, and now they're all prospects. They found you on Google the same way on the same day because we engineered content to appear for people who are looking to take action. And that's what we're good at. And we're going to make sure that we get you the results that you're looking for. We're going to accept the first 8 businesses into our pre-launch campaign. So we're launching a pre-launch campaign, which means every single thing that we sell under our umbrella is going to be 50% off. And our prices are already very affordable. So whatever you want, if you're one of the first 8 businesses to hook a deal, you're going to get 50% off. And if you're from Knysna, you can use hashtag Knysna20 off and you can get an additional 20% off. So you're talking about up to 70% off on transforming your business and getting in front of the digital trend. I think it's a really good deal.
It sounds fantastic, and there's no doubt that you know exactly what you're talking about. You obviously also have a great team behind you, Kane.
Yes, we do. We've been working in digital marketing for the past 5 years. And it hasn't been an easy road. We've taken, you know, the path less traveled by almost every time with the idea of figuring out what works and what doesn't. It's extremely beneficial to know what doesn't work in the digital industry. It's just as important as knowing what works. We don't want to waste time. We're focused on results. We're a team that wants to get results. We don't want to deliver a service. We want to build a business that can derive its own income, and we want to prosper with that business. We don't want a month-long relationship. You know, we want to build.
So Kane, where can we find you on social media?
So right now you will find us on under Peacock Marketing. You will find us on social media, but for now, you know, we're very pre-launch phase.
Okay.
Some of these channels won't be open yet for the next few days. So you can just call 081-496-6044. That's 081-496-6044. And you can request to have a spot reserved to be one of the 8 businesses that we launch with. We're looking for businesses that will transition very well into digital. And, you know, we want the special that we're providing to go a long way into, you know, building your business.
That sounds fantastic. Sounds like you're going to have a client soon, eRadio.
Hey, let's do it, man. We can make some wondrous, wondrous things happen.
Yes. No, we're going to have a meeting. Not on air. We're going to have a meeting off air. We're going to discuss it. And then you can see some fine examples of Kane and Peacock Marketing's work. As they say, I like your slogan called, it's saying, level up your marketing. I like that, Kane.
Yeah, it's time. If there's ever a time to get on top of your digital marketing and move slightly away from physical, it's now. You know, get on top of it. There's lots of ways to ride this train, whatever industry you're in. There's a successful version of you in the world online right now, and don't fall behind.
081-496-6044. And when we call it, who's going to answer? Is it you?
Yeah, it's going to be me.
Okay, so now all your stalkers have your number. Whoops. Whoopsie.
Available anytime. Just give me a call.
Cool. Kane, that's it for Tech Thursday for today. Also, by the way, best of luck with your new venture. And as I said, we're definitely going to chat off air. Yeah, well done. And good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jan. And let's hope it gets off to a great start and we see, you know, we don't have to talk about any more business closures or business rescue or anything like that.
Yeah, gosh, we had enough of that today. In fact, 90% of the show kind of consisted of businesses closing. Shame. But anyway, Kane,
so do you want to...
Hey?
Sorry, I'm going to do a little... So I thought maybe for next week we can discuss a little bit more about Richard Branson, who's, you know, he's taking his leap into space. And for anyone that saw, you know, Elon Musk scale to first richest man, this might be another one of those moments, you know, Richard Branson gearing up for some big news and wow, big things. We might find some interesting information down that road.
That sounds fascinating. And also, I believe, annoying tech sounds. We're going to talk about annoying tech sounds as well next week.
Absolutely. And those are going to be hilarious. I would advise everyone come around for that. That's going to be a jump into the past, a reminiscence of what was once a very funny time.
And we'll play them in, actually. You'll be able to hear the actual sounds. We're going to, like, play them in. But just if you have to quickly think of one, Kane, what is the most annoying tech sound that you can remember from the 90s as a kid?
There's times where, you know, sometimes I'll be sleeping at night and I'll just hear that dial-up tone so very faintly, and it'll bring back some. Remember that time where you really just want to check the internet, but you got to listen to this whole sing-song, or you try to answer your home phone and there's just this background feedback screaming in your ear. That was the worst. If I can do without that, I won't miss it.
Yes, we're going to get those sound effects. I think also for me, the sound effect that from the 90s that was the most annoying was probably one of those first dial-up MWeb modems that you had, and then nobody could use the home phone. But not everybody had it, you know. Even if you had that noisy thing, it was a luxury.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. That was you were living the final life, but inside you were suffering.
Even with that noisy box where it took about 15 minutes just to open your emails.
Yeah, no, that sound makes me close my eyes. It forces them shut.
But do you remember how long it took to just open one email? And if somebody had pictures in that email, you can forget about it and come back next year.
You could literally outwalk the speed of that internet.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to it, Kane. As always, thanks for your time. And then we'll catch up with you again next Thursday at 3 o'clock on eRadio.
Sounds good. See you then.
Cheers, Kane.
Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
You too.